Looking at the scriptures, looking at Galatians chapter 5 and verses 13 through 15. Galatians chapter 5, verses beginning here at verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Now we celebrate 248 years of this nation's birth. 248 years that we've been around. Now, you'd say if that was just a person, they'd seem mighty old, wouldn't they? But for a nation, it's very young, isn't it? Considering all the nations in the world, some that have been around for centuries, maybe they've changed forms of government, but they've still been around as a cohesive nation for centuries. I mean, think of places like in Egypt or China, or Japan, or Greece. They've been around for centuries. And but for the United States, our July 4th, our celebration of Independence Day, of freedom, and freedom so that you and I can come into a place like this and worship God without someone outside holding a gun and preventing us from coming in, or wanting to destroy this place by burning it down, or harming us, or coercing us. We're given freedom and is supported by the government to give us the freedom to come together and worship. I'll say a little bit more on that in just a minute. But we're a young nation. In Europe and other places throughout the world, well, let me just say, how old is this building itself in which we're worshiping? 10 years? 15 years? Somewhere in that this building has been here, completed like this? About 15 years now. And this church has been around for well over 100 years, right? And Methodism has been around through the birth of this nation. And we're still Methodists, continuing that long heritage. But there are churches in England and in France and in China and different places that have been around for 500 years, 700 years, some even 1,000 years. Ancient structures in which people still come together and worship, or in which ministry takes place out of those churches. Our nation, you see, itself, just 248 years old, is still younger than those churches in the length of time that they have existed. Just think of this. When Thomas Jefferson died, Abraham Lincoln was 17 years old. And when Lincoln was assassinated, Woodrow Wilson was 8 years old. And when Woodrow Wilson died, Ronald Reagan was 12. Now, I didn't compute with our current president how old he was in light of when Ronald Reagan passed away, but we've lived that history. But that's just 1, 2, 3, 4 presidents ago. Not in succession, but in terms of living when that president died. And we've had many more presidents. But that tells us how young our nation is. And our nation is vital because it holds freedom in a great mantle before us. Freedom is awesome, isn't it? Freedom gives us the ability to worship as we so choose. You're free to go and do what you want. Do you know that you're free to be on the lake today? That you're free to be at in Panama? That you're free to go and do all sorts of things in this world? Now, there are certain laws that prevent us and that are frowned upon, but for the most part, you're free to go do what you want. But you chose this day, in this time. You may go to the lake afterwards, you may do other things, but you chose to be here and to worship God to demonstrate in that freedom how valuable and important God is in your life. And you've set an example to the community. There are people here. They might not even notice you, but you've set an example to the community that the worship of God is important to you. The Declaration of Independence says this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Liberty. Freedom. You're given the freedom to vote. But that doesn't mean you have to. You also are given the freedom not to vote. You don't have to show up at the polls. But as Christians, I hope that we see this as important and valuable to help choose the leaders who guide our nation, who guide our local economy, our local decisions in this county and in our state. But we could choose to stay home just the same. We could choose to not be involved. And it's just the same as our faith in Christ. He's given us freedom, but it's freedom from sin. It is to choose the righteousness of God. Folks, I know and realize more and more as a parent that I don't make decisions for my kids. I did when they were little, but I don't anymore, really. I have what I may consider influence, but I don't make those decisions. They have to make them. I can guide them along the way, but ultimately they make those decisions, don't they? My hope is that along those years that there's been enough guidance, enough value entrusted that they see the value in Scripture, they see the value in following Jesus, and make those decisions based on what God would have them to do, not what the world would want them to do. Freedom is important, and our nation's freedom is important. And let me say this as well. Our nation is young, but God is eternal. Think about that. Some people have said, well, you know, there's a lot of faults with our nation. Well, there's a lot of faults with a lot of nations. Name one that governs perfectly. And there are some who will say, and I've heard this expressed, not among you, but among people that say, well, communism just didn't get it right, and if it's done right, it would work great. Well, communism at its basis is anti-God. So it's going to get something wrong right off the bat. And as long as we live in this world, no form of government is going to get it right all the time. But I do believe that this nation gets it a whole lot more right than it gets it wrong than any other nation in the world.
Amen.
And that is due in my thoughts here because of Christianity being in this nation. If we weren't filled in this land with those who were Christians, then greed would rule in all situations. If we weren't filled with Christians in this land, then all sorts of debauchery and evil would take place in this nation all the time. And it would fail miserably. But because of Christianity and a God consciousness to freely serve Him, this nation upholds a standard to love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. There are people who make this a mantra for their businesses. Not all, but there are those who do. There are people that make this a mantra for how they raise a family. To love your neighbor as yourself. There are those that make it a mantra for how they serve in office, in leadership in our nation. And it is because of this God consciousness in our nation that allows for this nation to be so blessed, allows this nation to truly seek the goodness of God and to thirst for the righteousness of God. Now, I'm not under any delusion that that's most of the people in this nation. No, it's not. But it is a significant number of people. And you make up that fabric. And without you and so many others who are faithfully seeking to serve God, our nation will crumble. It is important that we stand up and thirst for the righteousness of God. Seek to love our neighbor as ourselves, not as an excuse for behaviors. For instance, if your neighbor is abusing and beating their children, I'm not talking about a spanking and that sort of thing. There's a point in which we say, loving your neighbor is not just excusing that behavior, but it's saying, no. Whether it means you going and saying no, or whether it means you picking up the phone and calling someone from the sheriff's office to say this is going on and it needs to stop. Freedom also includes loving our neighbor. Just doesn't mean just accepting what everything goes on around us, but it's upholding to the standards of Scripture. It's upholding to the righteousness of God. And we come together collectively as a church to uphold one another and strengthen one another in the faith. And in so doing, we are strengthening this nation. If the church falls away, this nation will fail. It will no longer cease to be the nation God intended it to be. A nation given with freedom to serve faithfully our Lord and Savior and to be as a staging ground to go into the world as missionaries in missions and in mission in our own local communities to teach and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And by doing, we are loving our neighbor as ourselves. The Vietnam veteran, I didn't get the name or the name of the person who was rescued here, but the rescued person said this. He was saved while he was in Vietnam, and I don't mean spiritually saved, physically saved. And he was being interviewed, and he was sharing about this person who had saved hundreds of lives by helicoptering in and getting persons who were near death to the hospital and trauma units so that they could be worked on, and hopefully many of those survived because of this one person's brave efforts. And he says this concerning the person who brought him to safety and saved his life and brought him to the hospital. He says many years later he wanted to find out who this person was. He found him and he says, "How do you think the man who saved your life?" Maybe some of us haven't been at that point where we can know that someone else risked their life in order that we might be saved. To love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus risked his life, gave his life, that we might not be temporarily saved in this body, but that we might be given eternal life. God of the ages, this nation will not always be. None of the nations of this earth will always be. For in heaven, will there be a government? No. In heaven, God reigns. Will there be a need for committees and so on and so forth? Will there be elections? No. Will be none of those things. Our full trust, our hope, sustaining life will be because of God and His great love for us, who loved us so much that He gave His life for us. And He's given us this great freedom, not that we might trample upon this freedom and continue in sin, but know that we might want to choose the righteousness of God and seek to please Him and to serve Him because of the great thing that He has done for you and me. And so as we celebrate communion to this day, The great gift is the body and blood of Jesus, who freely chose to love you and me so that we would not get what we deserved, which was hell. That's what we deserve, is hell. But God rescued us from that, saved us from that. How much more? How do we thank the one who has saved us for eternal life? I'll tell you how. You give your life to Him. You seek when you wake up in the morning, how can I serve Him? How can I love others as He has loved me? How do I make business decisions based on the love of God? How do I make friendship decisions based on the love of God? How do I make family decisions based on the love of God? See, all of this comes together. How do I thank the one who has saved me? I seek to live for Him. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, but you're living after the Spirit. Our nation is great because of Christianity and serving one another and loving one another. And it is important and vital for our nation that for it to continue to be great, we must be and continue to be a nation that follows Christ and seeks to serve Him.